So, as you may have heard, it is Tree Week here at Atlas Obscura. And today, our producer, Julia Russo, is going to bring you a really sweet story. I think you're going to like it. I also have a little request that I'm going to come and ask you about at the end of the show. All right, enjoy the episode.
Back in 2012, Australia had a problem. The country was dry as a bone. The continent had endured more than a decade of drought, and this was very bad news for Australia's trees. In fact, the city of Melbourne was even projected to lose almost a third of its trees over the course of the next 10 years. And with over 70,000 city-owned trees in Melbourne, the city was going to need all the help it could get. So Melbourne came up with a mapping system. Each of the city's trees would get an ID number and an email address. The idea was that if someone walked along and noticed something wrong with the tree, they could send an email to alert the city of the issue. And perhaps you wouldn't expect a program like this to garner a lot of responses. But back at the city's offices, the emails started flooding in. Except the emails that Melburnians sent were not what the city expected. The emails were love letters to the trees, like this one.
Dear Moreton Bay Fig, you are beautiful. Sometimes I sit or walk under you and feel happier. I love the way the light looks through your leaves and how your branches come down so low and wide, it's almost as if you're trying to hug me. It's nice to have you so close. I should try to visit more often. You are my favorite tree because you are a native, standing proud in a cultivated English garden of colonizing trees, imported to remind settlers of a home they may never return to. You remind me to be as strong and beautiful as you are.
I'm Julia Russo, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous trees. Today, we visit Melbourne, Australia, where city officials expected to receive emails about trees in poor health or fallen branches. But instead, their inbox was flooded with intimate portraits of how people were interacting with the trees in their neighborhoods. More after this.
If you're looking for a place where the wide open skies and the towering mountains inspire you to find an untapped part of yourself, you might want to take a trip to Wyoming. It's a place where bold, curious spirits forge their own way on all types of adventures. There is no shortage of iconic, expansive landscapes out there. You can discover breathtaking hikes, stunning state parks, authentic Western culture, and other historic sites, along with the tales of famous outlaws like Butch Cassidy and pioneers like Buffalo Bill Cody. The truth lies west. Discover yours at travelwyoming.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Dear Greenleaf Elm, I hope you like living at St. Mary's. Most of the time, I like it too. I have exams coming up and I should be busy studying. You do not have exams because you are a tree. I don't think that there is much more to talk about as we don't have a lot in common, you being a tree and such. But I'm glad we're in this together. Cheers, F.
At first, the love letters to Melbourne's trees trickled in. The first ones dropped shortly after the city released its mapping system in 2013. But by 2015, that trickle turned into a flood. Since then, the city of Melbourne has received over 10,000 love letters to their trees. And the content of these letters range so much, from locals who love to sit underneath a certain tree on their lunch breaks, to people who live all the way on the other side of the world, who write to a tree to open up about their own personal lives. The city did not expect this reaction from Melburnians, and really people around the globe. In the words of one city official, it was an unintended but positive consequence. And just as city officials were surprised when they began receiving thousands of love letters to Melbourne's trees, the letter writers were even more shocked when something strange happened after they hit send. The trees started writing back.
Hello, F. I do like living here. I hope you do well in your exams. Research has shown that nature can influence the way people learn in a positive way, so I hope I inspire your learning. Best wishes, Greenleaf Elm, tree ID 1022165.
And it kept happening.
Hello, Mr. Willowleaf Peppermint. Or should I say, Mrs. Willowleaf Peppermint. Do trees have genders? I hope you've had some nice sun today. Regards, L.
Hello. I am not a Mr. or a Mrs., as I have what's called perfect flowers that include both genders in my flower structure. Some other trees have male flowers and female flowers on the same tree. It is all very confusing and quite amazing how diverse and complex trees can be. Kind regards, Mr. and Mrs. Willowleaf Peppermint. Same tree.
Chinese Elm 1030595. Or can I call you Dale? I'm stuck inside and I'm so jealous of you soaking up the sun. You seem to be having a ball out there today. What did you get up to on the weekend?
Dale, I like it. Sorry that you're stuck inside. I am really enjoying stretching my stomata and giving my chloroplasts a good workout. I spent the weekend well hydrated and preparing for the summer ahead. You?
Of course, it was not the actual trees writing back. It was Juliana Leslie, the project officer for the Melbourne Urban Forest Strategy Team. These days, she actually has a line in her job description for her to respond to incoming emails as the tree itself. We couldn't get a hold of Juliana herself. She's a busy woman, has a lot of letters to write. But in 2022, Juliana told a journalist that she often just reflects back what the writers have put in their letters to the trees. For example, a lot of times she receives emails from kids sending tree jokes, so she will send a tree joke in return. Or if she does get a more heartfelt message, she likes to reply with something more genuine. It's been 12 years since the Urban Forest Strategy Team opened inboxes for their trees, but the emails keep coming. People all over the world are still writing love letters to their favorite trees in Melbourne. And as it turns out, the trees in Melbourne are not the only ones people want to write letters to. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, an environmental organization created emails for 14 of their trees. And in Charlotte, North Carolina, a Reddit group shared love letters to their favorite trees in their city for Valentine's Day. After reading these love letters, a few of us producers here at Atlas Obscura looked around our own neighborhoods, and we got inspired to write our own love letters to our own local trees. Here's Chris Naka.
To the maple tree outside my apartment. Our old apartment was a dark basement-level unit with few windows. This new place is on the fourth floor, we get plenty of light, and we can look out over our block in Brooklyn. But we can also look directly into the apartments across the street, assuming they don't have their blinds down, and I'm sure those people can see directly into our apartment. Except we have you, a maple tree just tall enough to obscure our windows so we can leave the blinds open and still have privacy while getting a lot of sunlight. Well, at least from spring to fall. The winter is a whole other story, but that's what blinds are for. So thank you for all that you do.
This next one is from Johanna Mayer.
Dear Oak Tree, you live right outside my bedroom window. My father-in-law actually grew up in this same apartment building, and he remembers when you were planted. In 50 years, you have grown more than 5 stories, and you've seen a lot of stuff over the years. You've seen tenants move in and out of the building. You've seen the block change. Now, you're the first thing I see every morning. I'm really glad you live on my block, even though your acorns do sometimes drop on my head, and it actually really kind of hurts.
And here's a letter from Baudelaire.
Dear tree that used to be in my mom's yard. What great times we had. Remember the days I would climb you during games of hide and seek with my cousins? How about the time where while climbing, I pulled a muscle in my chest? Ah, good times. When I first came back from college, you were already cut down. So since I never got a chance to say goodbye, here it is. Thanks for the memories.
And here's a letter from Luce Fleming.
Dear Lone Pine, I've known you for as long as I can remember. When I was a little kid climbing around the cliffs behind my house, there you were, growing out of a tiny crack in the solid sandstone rock. Somehow you've been able to get enough to survive from that tiny crack, though it has clearly stunted your growth to make you a bonsai, a mere 4 feet tall. I wonder how old you are. 100? 200? 500 years? In the many decades I've known you, you've scarcely grown a foot. If your seed fell 10 paces to the west instead of into that crack that you sprouted from, you would be as tall as your towering ponderosa cousins. But you did pick a beautiful place to call home, as rugged as it is. With 60-mile views of snow-capped mountain ranges, how much have you seen from your perch? You inspire so much strength and resilience, growing from that tiny crack at the edge of a sandstone cliff.
Hey, it is Dylan again. I'm back with my request. I loved hearing all these letters to trees from around the world. And now I want to hear your tree love letters. Maybe there's a tree in your backyard. Maybe there's one outside of your window. Maybe there's one you've always wanted to visit. And now is your time to tell us how you feel. Give us a call at 315-992-7902 and leave us a message telling us your name and your love letter to a tree. Our mailbox will cut you off after about 2 minutes, so just call back if you get disconnected. And you can also record a voice memo of any length and email it to us at hello@atlasobscura.com. I cannot wait to hear from you all.
This episode was produced by me, Julia Russo. The Atlas Obscura podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The production team includes
Dylan Thuris,
Doug Baldinger,
Chris Naka,
Camille Stanley,
Johanna Mayer,
Manolo Morales,
Baudelaire,
Gabby Gladney.
Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
This episode was sound designed and mixed by
Luce Fleming.
The theme and end credits are by Sam Tyndale. I'm Julia Russo, wishing you all the wonder in the world.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.